You know, it wouldn't have been hard to stay at home tonight on a cold, rainy night, would it? But I'm just glad that I'm with God's people tonight, and I really am. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It's been a while since we've been through this book. In fact, it's been about 6 years since we went through this book. I really, really love this 1 John. I love all the books of the Bible, but seemed like this 1 John to me is just extra, extra special. Because it tells us about this blessed assurance that we can have in Christ Jesus, and that's what we need this day and time that we're living in. I hope you look around you this hour and see there's a lot of people that's not here, and would you just make it a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ to invite someone to be with us next Wednesday, even for Sunday morning, Sunday night for our service, especially next Wednesday. It might be someone in our church, it might be someone that's not churched, but would you do your best just to invite somebody to be with us at our next service? And every Wednesday, we need to get our numbers back up. This weather will change one of these days, and we need to get it back up to 120 and 30 and 40 on our Wednesday night. We've been running way over 100 on Wednesday night. We know this weather is holding us back with a lot of people sick. But do your best to encourage and invite someone to be with us next Sunday morning, Sunday night, and also next Wednesday. Especially next Wednesday as we go through this book, and if it's someone in our church, to find out for sure, is Jesus real to you tonight? And it's a blessing, I tell you, to read this book and give us the blessed assurance of really living. And I just thank the Lord that we can read through the Word of God, and it gives us assurance that we just really living. And I thank the Lord for that, because we know if you are lost, you are not really living. You're just existing. And the Word of God tells us that you do not have life in you, although you have flesh and bones and blood. You may be breathing, people's breathing this hour, but they're just really not alive. But this book of John has been wrote to the Christians to strengthen the Christians. And I think we really need strengthening in the days in which we're living in this time. There's so many people being discouraged in the life that we're living in, the times that we're living in. It's a time of discouragement. So this book is be a great book for people to read for the strength that we need in Christ Jesus, to strengthen the Christian, also to strengthen the church. Today, we need a strong, growing, healthy church. And to be a strong, growing, healthy church, we need strong, growing, healthy people and healthy family. We get that from the Word of God. Thank you for the Word of God. The need today, living in the last days, I really do believe that we're living in the last days. Maybe in the last few minutes of the days, we really don't know, but things are really happening fast in our world. And we won't get into the prophecy this hour, but I really do believe that we're living in the last days, and we know what the Bible tells us about that. Many grow cold and many leave. But we have a greed meltdown, I really believe, and this greed meltdown has been for the last several years in our country. And we find the greed has been through our world, and especially through our country we're living in. And they've tried all the good life, and the good life, and getting all that you can, the good things that we have. But you see, without Jesus Christ, we'll find these days will come to an end without the Lord. Without getting arrested, people got all they could, you know, in every way they could for the last several years in our country. Just been a greedy time in our country for the last several years. Really, the United States was influenced. After they got all they could, they find out they was really not satisfied at all. But people tried every way for the last several years, and people does this all the time. They try to get everything they can out of this world, but they find out when they get everything they can get out of this world, they still find needs. This world will not meet your needs. So much greed. But then they say, check out the message of the Bible. You know, check out Jesus. Don't just check out the church, check out Jesus. A lot of people say, well, I've tried the church. Well, we're not talking about the church. We're talking about Jesus. Without Jesus, we wouldn't even have a church. But we're talking about Jesus Christ. Always get people to Jesus. They always try to get sidetracked and tell you about this church and that church. But how about Jesus? You know, that's where it's all at, about Jesus. They don't like this church. They don't like church. They don't like what people do. But how about Jesus? Always get them to Jesus. That's what we need. So as we think about the message of the Bible, we think how really that we have such a great, great Word of God. But the Bible gives us a perspective in life that we may have joy. It's possible for a person, I said, to be alive physically, but they're not alive spiritually, especially if they're lost. So let's read these verses of Scriptures 1 through 4 as we open up this book. Sunday morning I preached on chapter 5, and we kind of went to several different chapters in this little small book. giving us the confidence that we need. But then we find out it's such a great thing to know Jesus Christ. Listen, we have this converted life. People that's not happy, people don't know, and people don't have what you and I have tonight. They just don't know because they don't have this converted life in Christ Jesus. And they don't have this connected life we have with one another. And they don't have this complete life through the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God to give us the things that we need. So these three things are very, very important to us tonight as I read this, the scripture here for several times. And as I prayed about this, verse 1, chapter 1, John writing to the believers, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He's talking about Jesus Christ. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we thank you so much, O God, for the power of this precious word. Father, for the sweetness of the Spirit that we know is with us right now. Father, as you wrap your arms around this group of people that's here this night, Father, oh, how I pray, God, that you might help us understand how much you love us and how real that you really are, Christ Jesus. And Father, how that we need strengthening in these days that we might be able to stand upon the land, O God, and stand upon our homes, Lord, and stand in the life that we live for Jesus Christ, Lord, that the people might know that, Father, we have this life in you, and Father, how that your life comes alive in us, and how we thank you, Lord, how you've been with us so many times, Lord, and how that you showed yourself to each and every one of us that knows you here this hour, and how you manifested yourself, and how we praise you here this hour, Father. We thank you, Lord. We just ask you now that you might go with us for the far scenes of this service, O God, and Lord, when we leave this place, God, we can say it was good being in the house of the Lord, and we thank you, we praise you, and we just lift up the name of Jesus Christ this hour. We thank you for the songs that were sung this hour, Father. Oh, how great it is to sing songs and praises to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we just ask you now to work a work, Father, in your people, oh God, and give us the strength that we need for the upcoming days, God, that you have for us to stand for you in the times, God, of these days that we're living in. And all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and amen. It says in the Gospel of John, or the 1 John chapter 5 and 12, it says, he that have the Son have life, and he have not the Son of God have not life. Now, John was writing to people, that's like you're sitting out here in this audience. John was writing to people that had real flesh and bones. I mean, they was alive, but yet he says, if you have not the Son of God, you have not life. And you know and I know that people that's not saved, they have just existence. All you just exist. We know an oyster have existence, but it don't have the life that you and I know of it today. The life is through Jesus Christ. And you know what it really means to be a Christian? It means that Jesus Christ had a resurrection life in me. I mean, he come alive in my body. That's what it is. Jesus Christ came, the living body, and a new resurrection life that Jesus Christ would give all Christians. Jesus come to live in our bodies this hour. And that's what it means to be a Christian, that he come alive in my body. I mean, Jesus Christ is alive today, and he's real today. So many people today that Jesus Christ is not real to him. To them. They know about Jesus Christ. They pray, you know, around Jesus Christ, but they don't pray to Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, he's real tonight. You sit out here tonight, and you're here tonight because Jesus Christ is real to you. But there's so many people that Jesus is not real to them. They know about Jesus Christ, but they don't know this real Jesus. So John is trying to tell us about this real Jesus. Is Jesus real to you tonight? There's so many people that needs this so very, very bad. That is Jesus Christ real, knowing him in our life today. 1 John, that's what he's talking about through this whole book. What God is doing in your life. He's coming alive in your life. And each day that you grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we grow and this knowledge comes alive. Are you alive tonight? Really living? Do you know what life is all about? What life is all about? Are you living this life in Jesus Christ, living this life in you? Well, if you are, you have a converted life. That's what it's all about. A lot of people don't have this converted life. as I said, they know about Jesus Christ. It says there in verse 1, that which was from the beginning. Now, they're talking about Jesus Christ, the converted life. And verses 1 and 2 deal with that. Talking about the life that is different life, different from this world. Yes, I'm going to tell you what, you're different if you're a saved person or not. A life that is revolves around knowing Jesus Christ. I know more about Jesus Christ the day when I was first saved, and I love Jesus Christ more the day than I did when I was first saved. I remember seeing Jesus Christ, as John said, he saw him with his physical eyes and he heard his voice, but I saw it with my spiritual eyes. And you know, with a spiritual voice, you know, I know Jesus Christ. I saw him on the cross, dying for my sins, just for me, realizing that I was a lost sinner. You know, the Word of God revealed that to me, that I was a lost sinner, revealed it to you. And the honest way that I could go to heaven and get my sin forgiven is throw myself on the mercy of Jesus Christ. And you know what? He saved me. And I know he saved you. And all from that time, I don't matter how long that I live, you know, I can never pay Jesus Christ back for what he done for me that time when I asked him, forgive me of my sins and come in my heart and save me. But I began to live. He become the Son of Man that I might be able to become the sons of God. He took on the nature of human beings, the nature of flesh and blood, that I might be able to take on the divine nature. And that's what we have tonight. We have the divine nature. I look at and I see a bunch of Jesus here tonight. Oh, I know that we're all not like Jesus Christ, but he's still working on us. But that's exactly what we have here this hour. We have the saints of God. We have Jesus all over this building here this night. And we need to know and understand that and stand for that. And he will give us strength in this life, eternal life that we have in Jesus Christ. It says in verse 1, that which was. That means that Jesus is always. The always Jesus Christ from the beginning. There was a time when you were not. There was a time when you were not. There was never a time when Jesus Christ was not. He did not have a beginning. You had a beginning. There never will be a time, though, when you're not. There'll never be a time when you're not. You're not, people don't go to hell and burn up and that's all there is to it. There's a heaven and there's a hell, but there's somewhere that you're going to spend for all eternity. You had a beginning, but you'll never have an ending. It's going to be somewhere for all eternity. Jesus Christ said, I come to give them eternal life, and that eternal life is in heaven with him. You see, but there is another place, a destiny which is called hell, and that's not life, but it's existing at a place called hell. So remember that Jesus Christ did not have a beginning. That which was from the beginning. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God. That's a good way to start a book. That's a good way to start the Bible. And I'm going to tell you, in the beginning, God, that's a good way to start a life. That's a good way to start a marriage. And that's a good way to start a family. I'm going to tell you, that's a good way to start a church. In the beginning, God. And that's where it all starts. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 1, it also reads, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ was the Word from the beginning. We find that Jesus Christ, he was called the Word. The Word, Revelation 19 and 13, it also says, and he was clothed with the virtual dripping blood, and his name is called the Word of God. All the way through the book of the Bible, we find out that Jesus Christ is the Word. He was a literal Word, and also you find out here is a written Word about Jesus Christ. He was an actual Christ. And there again, there in verse 2, for this life was manifest, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and we need to bear witness today, and show unto you that eternal life which was from the Father, Jesus Christ, he says now, and was manifest unto us. And it also says in this Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There was an eyewitness there, John said, I saw him. The half-brother of Jesus Christ, they saw Jesus Christ, lived with him, saw him in the ministry of 3.5 years. That which we have seen. That means we, in the perfect tense of that verb, it says that we still see him. John says, now after all those years, I saw Jesus with my eyes. And here I am, I'm telling you about this. And he says, I see him and I continuously see him. And I'm telling you, from that day that I saw Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary with my spiritual eyes,
I still see him, John. I know what you're talking about. You saw him with your little eyes, you know, and I tell you, but your physical eyes, but I saw him with my spiritual eyes. John said, I saw him with my physical eyes, and I still see him today. Do you see Jesus Christ? That's what I'm talking about. Is Jesus Christ real to you? Did he really come alive in your life? John says, I can still see him. I can still see him performing the miracles that I walked with him for these 3 and 3.5 years there in his ministry. And John says, I can still see him doing these ministries. And today, I still see Jesus Christ. Do you see Jesus Christ today? I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is real. And sometimes as Christians, we forget about that Jesus Christ is real. And we, you know what? We tuck ourselves into our little cocoon and we crawl back in our little shells and we forget about that Jesus Christ is real and we got something to brag about. John said, I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ is real. I've seen him with my eyes. And I tell you today, they say, I still see him. And I like to tell you today that I see him to encourage you that you need to see Jesus. And that's what makes Jesus real to people today. They don't see Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, they need to see Jesus Christ. And they need to be with Jesus Christ. And the problem that we have in this day, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to get intense. I believe the war is going to grow. I think the battle is going to get more intense all the time. But you see, we got one that's already won the battles. And we know what? We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. And we're going to have the victory in Christ Jesus. But he says, my ears have heard this. And all of that, the same thing. He says, I can still hear him. I can still hear that small voice of my Savior, that which we have touched with our hands and we have handled. Jesus Christ, after the resurrection, that word there, touched with our hands. You remember Jesus Christ, after he was raised from the dead, and he was back in that upper room, you know, with his disciples, he says, now touch me and see if this is me. They thought he was a ghost. He says, you touch me. Same thing with word was used here, which we have touched. John used that very same word in the Greek language. Go ahead and put your hands on me. That word means, you know, to investigate. That word means touch me, to investigate. To investigate, see if Jesus Christ is real today. Oh, so many people, he's not real today. Well, yeah, Jesus Christ needs to be real to your life. Jesus Christ became a real man. Now, we know CNN News and CNN Broadcast Network and all these rest of them, if they had been there those 3.5 years that Jesus Christ, I mean the Son of God, God wrapped around in human flesh, if they could just been there with all the cameras and all the technology that we had today, did you know what? You could literally see Jesus Christ. I mean, you could turn on your television and see a man. I don't know how tall Jesus Christ was. Was he 6 foot tall? I don't know if he weighed 250 pounds. I don't know if he weighed 200 pounds. I don't know what color his hair was. I don't know what color his eye was. But I'm telling you, if we could have CNN News or we could have a television, there was really a structure of man, certain height, certain weight, certain color of hair. His name's Jesus. His name was Jesus. Really, John said, if you could just be in there, I see this, and we could have saw Jesus Christ just that plain. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ was really real. When Jesus Christ became a man, that saying to me and that saying to you, that he come a man that God understands. I mean, he was willing to come and be a man on this earth. Jesus Christ didn't ever have to come down here. But God says, you know what? I want to send my son. I love you so much, because we get into this in just a minute about the fellowship. I want to have fellowship. God want to have fellowship. The eternal God, the Father, want to have fellowship with us. But you see, you and I are sinful. There's no way that we could have fellowship with the eternal God. The one that made this universe, I'm going to tell you, and throw these stars in space, and all the greatness that we have of this world, the creation that we knew of today, this great world, the universe, and the galaxy that we knew of today, and the eternal God done all this for us. But this eternal God that made the great things also made the small thing. And after he got through making this planet for you and I to live on, he says, I want to have fellowship with you. But you see, that was a problem. Adam and Eve sinned. And then that separated the fellowship of all mankind. God can no longer have fellowship with mankind because Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. That had a problem for me and a problem for you. But you see, what God had to do, he already had it figured out. God already had it in his mind before the foundation of the world. I know what I do. He says, I'll send my son. Well, in the nature of that, God did. But he shed blood, animal skins there outside the Garden of Eden. It closed Adam, you mean, and Eve in skins. That means they had to have some blood shed. That was the first gospel tract there was when Adam and Eve put on those animal skins, because they had already tried to get back and, you know, and cover themselves with fig leaves. That's the first type of religion that you find in the Bible. They want to have fellowship with God, but God couldn't have fellowship with Adam and Eve. So he passed it on to you and I today. How can a person like me, I'm a sinful person, but I've been saved by the grace of God. But you see, I was a sinful person. But yet God desired to have fellowship with me. God loves us so much that this whole creation of this world, and we are his crown creation, human beings. And God loved human beings so much that he wants to have fellowship with every human being that he ever allowed to come into existence on this earth. But yet we sinful people. He can't have fellowship with us because he's a holy God. And every one of us has sinned. That's our nature to sin. And we cannot come in contact with a holy God. And so God sent his son Jesus Christ to do what we could not do. He died on the cross of Calvary. And I tell you, he gave his blood that we might have fellowship with God. This actual Christ. He says, I know all about your burdens. I know about your heartaches. I know about your sorrows. You don't ever have to worry about someone knowing about your problems. You'll never go through anything alone as a child of God. Can't you help somebody understand this? I mean, if Christ has been good to you and Christ has been good to every one of us, so many times we hear people saying, how you doing? Better than I deserve. Every one of us are doing better than we deserve. Well, why don't we help someone else? We got something great in this world. I'm going to tell you, we got something great in this world. I think about our country and how where our country is going to. But I tell you what, we got something greater than the government. I'm going to tell you, we got Jesus Christ. And you know, I really do believe our world is going to go under socialism, and I believe that's just a step to communism. But you see, communism and socialism, and then we have the free market, well, you know what we call capitalism. But you see, capitalism, it may be better, but you see, there's not much difference between capitalism and socialism. All it is just materialism. If we don't have Christ Jesus, what good would it do? We just have a better form of materialism. That's all capitalism is a better form of materialism. Without Christ Jesus, that's all it is. We need Christ Jesus, and think about this. We need Christ Jesus. That's the settlement of everything. Actually, the real Christ today, you know, where all the heresies and all the occults deny the humanity of Jesus Christ. They just deny the humanity of Jesus Christ. I was in Waycross today, and I see two young men in white shirts paddling bicycles. You know who they were, the Mormons. They want to go to house and try to convert people and try to tell people about old Joe, Joseph Smith. You see, they want to tell people about he was a great prophet, and he was. They want to tell you that Joseph Smith was just as great as Jesus Christ because both of them was a prophet. But I'm going to tell you, it all gets off on Jesus Christ. All the cults, all the isms always gets off on Jesus Christ. Because if you don't get straight on what Jesus Christ is, it won't matter what you think about old Joseph Smith or anybody else. It's all about Jesus Christ. But what they do, they deny the humanity of Jesus Christ. They deny the humanity of Jesus Christ. Now, every one of us today, we say, well, we know that Jesus Christ was God. I believe everybody believes that Jesus Christ is God. But you know, there's a lot of people that says Jesus Christ is God, but they want to deny his humanity. They say, yeah, his deity, we know that he was God. But a lot of people don't say, yeah, but Jesus Christ had his humanity. Now, that is just a fundamentalist that we have, that he become a man. And without being a full-blown man and become his flesh and blood this day, we would have had no Savior. We would have had no Savior. He would not be real. It's just as much sin to deny the humanity of Jesus Christ, it is to deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Y'all understand that? He had become a man. Don't never deny that. He was a real, real man walking on this earth. Just as much sin to deny the humanity of Jesus Christ is to deny the deity of Jesus Christ, that he was a God-man. 100% God and 100% man. Can you understand that? No. Can you explain that? No. But I believe that because that's what the Bible teaches. That we have seen with our eyes, that we have heard with our ears. As I said, we had a camera, we had a tape recorder. You could really hear the voice of Jesus. John writing this book, and like I said, we had a CNN in, we could see Jesus Christ. We could hear him talk. We could see him heal the lepers. We could see him heal the blind people. We could see him touch that person that was crippled for life and raise up and walk. We could really see this. We could really, really see this. We wouldn't have to look at the Passion of Christ, what was somebody put together on a movie. Jesus Christ was real. We could see him on the cross as it really, really was. He said, I saw him. I saw him with my eyes, and I heard him with my ears, and I held him with my hands, and I touched him with my hands. Seen him there. It means that word for theater. It means that, again, there to investigate, to look and stare intensely, to investigate. Jesus Christ was a real man. Don't take away his humanity. If you do, you take away his example. If you take away his example, you take away the blood atonement, and you have no salvation. But you see, Christ is the available Christ in this converted life. He says that's the available. This life is manifest, come, made known unto you. A personal spirit. Is Jesus Christ really, really real to you tonight? We found out that he's really, really real. Are you really living? Are you really living for Jesus? Is he really, really real to you? Oh, there's so many people we need to help. But this life, if you want to have this happy life and this joyful life, and knowing this, that you'll have a converted life in Christ Jesus. Because I see if people's not converted, they're not happy today. They're just living in sin for a while. Oh, John says our responsibility is to tell others. That's what John was doing. You see, this is a great there on your soul winning, because John was telling people about Jesus. If we what we say that we are, if Jesus is good to us, as we say that he's good to us, if we love him more today than we did yesterday, is Jesus coming sweeter and sweeter each day? Is he coming closer and closer to you each day? If he's what we claim that he is, why don't we want to share this with people that have so much turmoil in their life? And people that are so defeated in life. And we have people that's down and out in life. And the only answer is Jesus. And we have the answer to the problems of the world. We have the answer to the problem of our country. We have the answer, and the answer is Jesus. Its answer is Jesus Christ. It says also in John 10, the Gospel of John 10 and 28, about having this connected life. And it says, and I give unto them eternal life. You know, that's the only life that Jesus Christ gives, not part-time life, not 10-year life. Not 50 years life when you slip and fall, but he says eternal life, and they shall never perish. Did you never perish? I said, you're going to spend somewhere for all eternity. The time that you begin, you'll never end. You'll be somewhere. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, hands of Jesus Christ. Christ of a relationship. It says there in verse 3, as we hurry along the night, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us, that you may also have fellowship with us. That word fellowship, it means more than just going over to our fellowship hall or our social hall and we say we haven't fellowship. That's really not what fellowship is all about. That's not what fellowship is all about. Fellowship, that's to have in common. As men, you know, we have fellowship together. Two men like to get out, or more than they like to get out, they go fishing. They like to go hunting. They like to play golf or sports. Ladies, they like to go shopping together, or they might like to go, go cook together. They have something in common. Well, you see, what do we have in common with God? What do you and I have in common with God? His Son, Jesus Christ, brought us together that we may have fellowship with him. As I said to start with, you cannot have fellowship with the Holy God. And I can't have fellowship with the Holy God. But he desires for us to have fellowship with him. But it all comes through his Son, Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, we could not have this fellowship in him. So this fellowship, that's Christ Jesus dying on the cross. That we might have fellowship with the Father. That right relationship. Some have never known what it is to have a father. You see, when we have this fellowship, that means that we come into this converted life and this connected life, we find out that then that we may have a father. Now, a lot of people really don't remember their fathers very well. You know, today they may not have a father image that they can remember. We have so many dropout dads in our country, this world, and we have so many single-parent homes today we're living. So much hurt on people's life. But when you come to Jesus Christ with this converted life, and then I tell you, you can come to him and have this connected life and have a father. And I explained it to someone several times when you might be able to call him daddy. You see, you can't call the eternal God. He's nothing but your creator. All people of this world, remember all religions of this world, no matter what type they are, they believe in some type of deity God. They believe in a God of a universe. All these occults believe that God made this universe. All the isms of the day, they believe that there's an eternal God over everything. God put that in man's heart and mind, that there is a super being somewhere or another. And you and I, today, we cannot call the eternal God Father, because He is not the Father of everybody. He is God, the Creator of everybody, but He's not the Father of everybody. You see, once you be able to come with a converted life, and you come with a connected life then in the family of God, that then you might be able to call Jesus Christ, Abba means Daddy, Father. You see, the Jesus Christ says one time, He's talked to the Pharisees, that you of your father the devil. There's two families in this world. There's a lot of time there's two families living in one house. You know, if two people, is one's lost and one's saved, say it take a man and a wife. Did you know what? There's two people living in that house, but there are two families living in that house. One of them has a father of the devil. One has a father of Jesus Christ. If one's lost and one's saved. A lot of people don't like this, mention this, but that is absolutely the truth. And then if that person is lost, it says, do not be ye unequally yoked together. That's what it's talking about, because then you got a daddy-in-law, which is the devil himself. That is the truth of the Word of God. You cannot call Jesus Christ daddy. You cannot call Him Father until you have this converted life and until you have this connected life. You can call Him God, your Creator, but you can't call Him God, your Father, until you come with this converted life and this connected life. Then He becomes your daddy. How sweet it is to say daddy, and He always loves you. Now, to think about this word daddy, I had a good childhood, I had a good parents, and I remember my father. Whenever I say daddy, that brings comfort to my heart and soul. I mean, when daddy was home, things was all right. When daddy was at the table, you know, there was calmness in the house. A lot of you know, and when daddy maybe had to go on some trips, when daddy wasn't at home, you see, it wasn't the same around the home. But boy, the security, knowing that daddy was in the house, it brought that security and peace and understanding. And I remember what it was. But even though if people now not had that childhood raising, they had a daddy that they could call daddy. But you see, now they can have this daddy with this connected life through Jesus Christ. And they can have a daddy that will never be too busy. Will never be too busy to talk to you. He'll never be too busy for you not to talk to him either. You know, a lot of daddies this day, they spend so much time on material things, they don't have time to talk to their children. They don't have time for the children to talk to them. But I'm going to tell you, once you have this connected life, you'll have this relationship that the daddy will always have time for you. And that in all, he'll always love you. And that in all, he'll always want the very best from you, for you. You know, Jesus Christ wants the very, very best for you, because he wants your life to be full of joy and happiness. Relationship with a family. The church is a family. Thank you, God, for churches. You know, there's a lot of teenagers this day, you see on television, they want to join a gang because they want to have a sense of belonging to something. That's why we have so many gangs in these cities. But you see what God has given us, that we might be able to belong. God has set up local churches all over the face of this earth. A lot of people, you see, they don't have no time for the church, but I'm going to tell you, they need to belong to something. I mean, you need to belong to something, and this gives us a sense of belonging. The church is a family. And thank the Lord for Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, because I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God right here at Pleasant Hill. And I thank you for all the churches that names the name of Jesus Christ, that we can be a family. Don't ever get away from that family. The real life is a converted life and a connected life. But not only that, Christ wants us to have a complete life. That is in verse 4 of that same verses I read. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Pleasures in this world are just a season. There'll be no joy without Jesus Christ. There's some very, very unhappy people in this world. Pleasure and sin for a season, but you'll never have fulfillment and joy till you know Jesus Christ. It'll never satisfy you. That your joy, it says, may be full. The right attitude of joy. Christians today, if they are saved and they're not serving, they don't have this joy, they are very, very miserable Christians. And there's a contradiction to the term Christianity today if they're not serving Jesus Christ and have this joy. The purpose. You know, Isaiah says about the purpose of our salvation and also the joy. Do you have joy in your salvation? Are you saved tonight? Do you have joy in your salvation? I mean, there's so much joy in your salvation. Isaiah said, therefore, with joy shall we draw waters of the wells of salvation. The waters, living waters of salvation that God has given us. I mean, are you glad that you're saved tonight? The salvation that you cannot never be lost. The joy of knowing that you're going to heaven when you die. The joy of knowing that you're going to be with loved ones. The joy to know that one of these days, all the great things of this world we call today are going to be over with, but they're going to be greater things in heaven. Oh, Isaiah said this. The salvation. David said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. It's joy to be saved today. Don't we want to tell people about Jesus Christ? We ought to be, every one of us, ought to make soul winners out of every one of us today. The joy in the serving the Lord. There's joy in serving the Lord. Jeremiah 15 and 16 said, the joy of the Lord, or Nehemiah says 8 and 10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Jeremiah says, the word was found and I did eat them, and the word was unto me the joy and rejoice of my heart. That's the joy of the Word of God. Do you read and study the Word every day? Or not never be a day that you don't read some portion of the Word of God and just meditate on it. It might be just one verse of Scriptures. Every day, maybe just one verse of Scriptures. Maybe if you don't just read the Bible, you ought to get you one of these devotional books and have some Scriptures in. Just read once today. It would help you so very, very much to know that. The serving the Lord and the joy of the Holy Spirit of God. Because the Holy Spirit of God, remember in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, that is all this joy, peace, and long-suffering. It goes on and on and on about the different things He gives us about this joy. Psalms 126, the joy in soul winning. And I love this verse of Scriptures. He that goeth forth and soweth bare precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. That's soul winning. Have you ever sat down with someone and led them to the Lord with their broken heart, tears in their eyes, and they confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? You'll never really understand full joy that you have a part leading someone to Jesus. God expects us, every one of us, not to be lawyers, but be witnesses. You know, lawyer argues the case. Witness just tells what they've seen. He didn't call us to be lawyers. He called us to be witnesses. If Christ done anything in your heart and life, you ought to be able to witness to somebody and tell them what Jesus Christ has done to you. John chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you that your joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. All this joy. I have joy. You have joy? I mean, we're not talking about happiness, but joy. There's joy in salvation. There's joy in the Holy Spirit of God. There's joy in the Word. There's joy in soul winning. There's just joy in serving the Lord. There's joy in coming to Pleasant Hill Baptist Church on a Wednesday night when it's cold and rainy. And being with God's people in fellowship because we have something in common. All of us come from different homes and different backgrounds and different levels of education and different height in the economy. But you know we have something in common tonight. And that's Jesus Christ. That's what we have in common is Jesus. He's the lover of our soul. That's where we can get together on a cold rainy night on Wednesday night and see this group of people here. Will you make it a promise to God that you will invite someone to be with us next Wednesday? Will you let that great light shine in your heart this week? Did Jesus Christ really come alive in your heart? Will you invite someone to be with us Sunday? Would you make that commitment to Jesus Christ this hour that you have this joy and you will invite someone? They may not come, but you will invite them and encourage them. Maybe lost, they may be saved. But God will do the work if you'll invite them. Thank you tonight. I know I went long tonight, but I had to get this off my chest. I thank you and I praise you and I thank you so much for the work that people are doing here at Pleasant Hill. It's a great honor to be part of this great family of the Lord. At this hour, if nobody has anything else, we'll stand and be dismissed, please.